I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do your prayers please God right now? And on the flip side of that, harder one, do His answers please you? Murmur, murmur, murmur. Be honest. You can be honest here. It's okay to say that Jesus has disappointed you. That's all right. Because we have wired ourselves to want things that grow from our own thoughts and ways down here. While God warns us that His thoughts and ways are not the same at all. They are much higher. And up there, He can see where every single thought and way ultimately ends. And because of His love, His perfect love for us, He will only ever offer answers that lead the way to what we need, which is not necessarily what we want. We know that too much. So, it is natural to feel frustrated by up there answers while we're down here. That's okay, all right? We're going to change that, though. Because I also look around, all right? Just think in your daily life. Look around and look at the things that we want. We want things like cigarettes and McDonald's and reality TV. Do you really think that we should be in charge? Do you really think that we know what's best for ourselves? That's a hot no. We absolutely do not. We are clear. Well, we're stupid. We're just plain stupid. We are too nearsighted. And deep down, we know that we need that view from above and that heart of love to get our thoughts and ways right. We need a partner. We need a partner with a perspective that can complete the picture that we're trying to see here, which is right where God comes in. That's what He brings. But because He does see all of the things that we're blind to, here's the problem. God's will is always good, but it is rarely predictable. And that is super frustrating for us. It is foreign a lot of the time, and foreign often feels unclear and uncomfortable and unbelievable. So when our senior partner in perspective up there with that view offers answers, we should expect the unexpected until His foreign thoughts and His foreign ways actually start to finally feel familiar, which is where prayer comes in. And then it comes in again, and prayer on top of prayer on top of prayer, because when it comes to seeing God's perspective, right, our partner, prayer is the practice that leads us to perfect. That's how we're gonna get there. Every single unexpected answer that we get shifts our perspective to give us a better sense of our part in the partnership. And that is tough stuff. I got a wonderful story from Acts 12. It's one of those books. It's just there's so much stuff going on in there. And at the top of Acts 12 there, we see that the Lord allows Herod Agrippa to kill his apostle James, who Jesus calls a son of thunder. But then for some reason, later on in the same chapter, He sends His angel to miraculously rescue His apostle Peter, who Jesus calls the rock. But He gets him out of Herod's prison. Pick up the story right there. And then Peter, just getting fresh out of prison, then Peter went to the house where many people had gathered, and they were all what? Praying. They were all praying for him here. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. She understood that it was him. She was so overjoyed that she ran back without opening it. Okay, Rhoda, first things first, and exclaimed, "Peter's at the door, guys." "You're out of your mind," they told her. But Peter kept on knocking. That's all he can do at this point. Seriously? You know, Peter kept on knocking. And when they finally opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Oh, it really is him. Why? Why are they so astonished? They were all praying for him, right? Wouldn't these people, they knew Jesus. This was real stuff. So why were they astonished? Wouldn't they assume that every single knock at the door was Peter as the answer to prayer? They were like, "We're praying for it, so he's got to be coming." Not necessarily. Remember, God just let James get killed. So you don't know what to expect from him. You figure, well, okay, he's not gonna like break him out of prison. So you don't know. All we do know is that they were surprised, and that even back then, all of us, our thoughts and ways are so inferior to God's that we can miss an answer to prayer knocking on our front door. And that's a sobering thought right there. It can be right in front of your face. So obvious. We can all be blind to unexpected answers because we just don't think God works that way. And then you miss it. We can, even if it's so obvious, and it can astonish us in our daily lives, because we have it in our head, this idea that when we partner with God through prayer and we say, let's figure this thing out together, we're the ones who are doing all the knocking, right? I'm the one who called him, dear Lord, you know? That's me knocking on his door, but that's not right. In reality, the rock himself often stands at the door to knock, while we are the ones who often hesitate to open up to his unexpected answer. But imagine if Rhoda had just let that go. If Rhoda had gone back after talking to them and said, no, that's not happening, and said, sorry, buddy, we all know Pete's in jail, so you better beat it, you porch pirate. Get out of here, right? That could have happened, because we already know. We know Peter's in jail. That's not what Jesus is going to do here, you know? But if that had happened, if you'd have said that's not the way that he's answering this prayer, then they all would have missed out on seeing how their prayers actually did open Peter's prison doors, right? You open that up face to face with a miracle right there and an answer to prayer. And it is the exact same thing with every single one of us individually. We won't see God's answer until our prayer, or to our prayer, until we answer his knock. That's how it works. Because I hate to break it to you, but answering doors is our job, right? That's all we get. As junior partners, we're just answering doors. The senior partner is the one who gets to answer the prayers. However, it is also up to us junior partners to supply those prayers for our partner to answer. That's the partnership. That's how that works. Because it takes two to make a thing go right. Remember that song? No, me neither. I thought about singing it to you. Anyway, so the question becomes, right, how, pray tell, do we pray the right way? Well, I am glad I asked. Because as a pastor, I happen to know that most believers struggle with prayer. You know it, I know it, and the American people know it. This is very true. It is a tough thing. If you're not the daily disciplines type, and I'm very familiar with that, then prayer can feel like a random afterthought, right? Like I see something happen in my life and it's incredible and I look back and I go, oh, thanks for that, Lord. Oh my goodness, I forgot to even ask for it, you know? It's just something that you do in response sort of haphazardly. But if you are the daily disciplines type, like my wife, who has a checklist, well then maybe prayer can feel like a routine chore to check off. But either way, however you approach it, whatever it feels like to you, a lot of us, honestly, when we're honest, in our honest moments, a lot of us don't expect much from prayer in our daily lives. We don't expect much until things, exactly, until things go sideways and we need to get God's attention to hopefully squeeze a little miracle out of him. Right? We're saying, God, I need something now. It's time for you to get to work here. This is what prayer is all about. Wrong. We know that deep down, that is not how prayer works. And tragically, we can miss out on prayer's real power when we misunderstand its purpose. You can't think of it the wrong way. So the question is, what is our problem? Why are we this way? And it's perspective. It's the thing that we know that we need. It's perspective every time. We can't see. We don't know what we don't know. We can't see what we can't see. And I mean, we already know that, right? We know that we don't see everything. But instead of just missing some things, maybe some of the things that we're even seeing, we have to consider that we're not seeing right. What if we're seeing prayer mostly backwards? What if the main point of prayer is to get our attention? Not his, our attention. What if it was a way to get us refocused and recalibrated and realigned to God's will? What if prayer changes what we do more than what God does? I want you to think about how that can really happen in your daily prayers. Changes you? What if it was a surprising way to just get us to open up to unforeseen answers that could exceed all of our expectations? Things that we don't see coming because they're too good, they're too amazing. Well, it does seem like that. If you read, prayer seems to have that effect. It has that effect when Jesus does it, so I suppose it ought to have that for us, because you remember this story we read a little while ago. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and apparently in a certain way that was both foreign and fantastic, because when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Okay, pause for a second. This is kind of what Bruce has been talking about for the last couple weeks here. Remember this, the boys are not beginners when it comes to prayer. They weren't sitting here going, I didn't know that's what prayer was like. That's incredible. Teach us how you do that thing. Hardly. They were Jewish boys. Their Jewish heritage required a strict practice of memorized prayers that began in early childhood. Every single morning, every night, three other times, set throughout the day, before eating, after eating, in between. You know, they had a prayer for everything all the time. In fact, some of the historians have estimated that devout Jewish men in that time actually prayed 3 to 4 hours a day. All right? That's a part-time job. That is crazy. So the moral of that story is, if these guys still need guidance, we shouldn't feel so bad. All right, like, we're not doing something right, but they weren't either, and they were experts, quote unquote, at the time. And obviously, when they saw this, they saw something that was very different in the way that Jesus prayed. And we know what that is. We read the story, we see what it's like. For him, prayer was not a duty, it was a delight. He loved to do it. It wasn't taxing. It wasn't this 3 to 4 hours that you got to get through and memorize and put all the work in. Somehow it was refreshing and it was recharging, because Jesus was not that guy who was checking off these pre-recorded prayers at predetermined times, nor was he throwing it out as a random afterthought. Either way, no, it was super deliberate. And for some reason, he enjoyed getting away to pray. Do you ever feel like that? It's a tough one, be honest, because that means if you don't, we're not doing it right. That's how we got to get. We got to be like Jesus, who was always eager to just fill his free time with another chat with Dad. We need to feel that same fire. And I mean, what's so crazy about this is, if anybody didn't need to pray, it was Jesus, because he and the Father were already one, right? It's not like he was getting news. That's it. But he wanted to. He wanted to do it. He didn't feel like he had to do it. And this was nothing like these boys had ever seen. Where does he get this? How is he like this? Can I get what he's got? And at that moment, they knew that they needed a peek from his perspective of how this whole thing works. But right after they ask him, you know, they're doing the right thing. They're saying, teach us how to pray. How can I be like you? Right after that, and they ask him, hey, teach us how to pray, which is a little prayer in and of itself. Right? He gives them an answer that is unexpected. It is counterintuitive. It is challenging. It is confusing. And it is utterly life-changing. And oh boy, that turns out to be much more of the hallmark of Jesus than easy, obvious, stress-free answers. Amen? Amen. We all know it. If you've been walking with him for more than a minute, you know that already. It is tough stuff. He does not give us the easy. He gives us the hard stuff, because hard answers produce change. And there it is. That's good for us. Those hard answers, they challenge us. They challenge all of our thoughts and ways, which we know are incomplete. They challenge our thoughts and ways by coming from somewhere outside of our perspective, showing us something that we need to see. And so they open us up to grow us up. And that is what he is concerned with. That's what he wants from us. It's not always easy, but it is what we need. Now, from the disciples' existing perspective, where they were at the time, being these prayer warriors, according to the time there, they expect to get some more religious rules or routine from this new master of prayer. Like, teach us what you do. How'd you do that? What's the formula so that I can have this joy that you seem to have and everything? But true to form, Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't deliver in the way that they think. He gives them something completely unexpected. He gives them truth instead of the rules. He gives them what we call the Lord's Prayer. We all know that. We've talked about it here a lot. which is, you know, as we've discussed, a very surprisingly comprehensive and incredibly concise guide to praying that changes that impersonal ritual into intimate relationship. And that's the goal right there. He did it. He's like, I can do that in four lines. You know, he could just take this entire thing and change it into what we need, which is that intimate relationship. Because if we want to actually see what it is that we're missing from the senior partner's perspective, then we got to do it this way. And we know that, and this is how we get there. However, okay, you know, it's another good news, bad news situation. Here's the treasure map, go get the treasure. It's unfortunately a very difficult path to get there. Carrying out our part in the prayer relationship can be a very delicate and difficult proposition. And so, again, we've talked about this lately here. We've got these three big warnings. He gives us these three big warnings to keep us on track so we don't fall off, okay? Warning number one, remember this one? When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Oh, don't be like those hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have already received their reward in full. They already got it. That's that. And what was their reward? People saw them, right? Big whoop. People saw them. But here's why that was such a big deal, right? Like Bruce said last week, all that they wanted, I mean, this was what was really fulfilling to them, was they just wanted people to see their big blue swinging strings on their showy prayer shawls, right? So that people might think, whoa, this guy is so rich and holy, and he's clearly a big deal with the big guy upstairs. I sure wish that I looked like such a wrinkly old wizard. Apparently, that's what they want. You can keep it. I don't want it. But it makes you wonder at the same time. I mean, they're not thinking that. They're not thinking they're hypocrites. Am I missing it? Am I a hypocrite? I want to make sure that we're not. What do? How are we certain that we're not violating that first big warning? Well, let me ask you this. Does your struggle to pray the right way make you a hypocrite? No. Don't worry about that. That is not hypocrisy. That is just failure. And failure does not make you a hypocrite. Insincerity does. That's what we're struggling with here. The big question that Jesus is getting at is this: do you present in public what you are in private? Be that thing. If you do that, then I got good news for you. You are not a hypocrite. You're a failure. And that's good news. We got a church full of failures here. That is awesome. So if anybody ever says, you know, Christians are hypocrites, go, we're failures. So there. And that is good news, because prayer can fix failures, because failures are open to an answer that the closed off hypocrites would never hear, right? They're going to miss out on answers because they think that they already have their answer. They have the reward that they wanted, which was just being seen. Keep it. So remember, to pray the right way, Jesus demands sincerity and authenticity. That's it, straight off the top, number one with a bullet. We got to be that way. And then in warning number two, he adds this instruction along with a promise. He says, when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Because if you want to be like him, you should be unseen as well. And then, when you're in that relationship, then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. He himself, okay? And right here, you got to suspect that the Lord has got to love irony, because he sure seems to set us up for it. We are specifically just warned, right, to pray the Lord's prayer guide, both sincerely and secretly. And yet there is no other prayer on the planet that is more often recited mechanically and publicly. Right? That's us. We are those kids who just run straight for third base after hitting the ball. We just keep messing it up. And a lot of us are like, but listen, I find comfort in the Lord's Prayer. Like, I need it. Well, I'm sorry, failure, but we're not supposed to find comfort in a prayer. We're supposed to find comfort in our Father as we just faithfully follow by privately praying with an open heart, open to anything that he wants to give us, period. That's it. And like we saw last week in the purpose behind those feather-tipped prayer shawls, a secret meeting with the Lord assures that your prayer won't be just for show. Right? We know that. Everybody, we kind of feel that. You're a different person in different groups sometimes. Be the you that's you when you're away and alone just with the Father. And right there, that's where he himself personally promises that you have got a reward coming if you can do this, right? Directly from him. But then right before, like, you know, the good news, bad news, once again, I'll give you your reward, but I'm going to tack on warning number three here, okay? When you pray, also, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think, you know, they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Okay, all right. The first time I ever heard that, I was confused, right? Because I thought prayer was something that we just can't do enough. It's something that we're supposed to do all the time. Like we're told by Paul, we're supposed to pray continually, right? Without ceasing, all the time. Pray, 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 pray. Pray this, pray that. Pray everything. And that's true. It is. We are supposed to pray all the time. But what we're hearing here is that there is a big difference between praying like a partner and babbling like a pagan, all right? And we got to keep that clear. And it is all about the heart that you have, and it is never the words that you say. Okay, so get that out of your head. There's no magic formula. There are no specific words that you say. They just got to be the right reasons for it. The big question is this. When you pray, why are you praying? What is the reason? Why are you praying? That is what God cares about. Because your prayer's purpose determines if it pleases your partner. What is the reason? And the purpose of prayer is never to bend God's will to meet mine, but to bend mine to meet his. Okay? We get that backwards. And as much as we can say it and remember it here, we're going to somehow very luckily forget it when we need something again. And we'll go right back to saying, it's time for you to do something for me, Lord. That's not it. We're not changing him. All right? Prayer is much different than that. It is more like seeing a spiritual chiropractor. All right? When we pray right, our soul is adjusted to be aligned with God. That's correct prayer. But when we're babbling like pagans, it's more like seeing a spiritual lawyer. That's where we use our words in a way that our words get adjusted to get God aligned with us. You know, we're trying to change him, trying to make the right arguments. If I just say these things, maybe he'll do it. That's not how it works. You don't change God. Because the problem here is God can't change. Because God doesn't need to change. Change is for things that aren't perfect, right? That gets you closer to perfect. He's already there. He doesn't need to, and he can't anyway. So don't you ever forget that we're the ones in need. We're the ones who need that change. And our whole prayer partnership, every bit of it, is purposed with changing our perspective so that we can actually see what we need so that God can give it to us. In fact, all of his prayer guide and all these words of warning are meant to push us toward that reward, toward letting him give us the thing that we need so much. So what is that one thing? Money. I'm just kidding. Seeing if you're still with me here. No, yeah, that's not it. Go to another church for that answer, but this is not that. That's not it. It is not. And here, we're given clues all over the place for what that reward is. But I'll tell you, do you ever notice this? You ever notice that there's at least 12 different relationships covered in his prayer guide, in this short little prayer that he gives us? 12 different ones. Run through it. Listen to this for a second. It's crazy. Our Father, right? That's how we started off. Our Father. Well, he's our divine dad, right? He's in heaven. He's the ruler. Hallowed be your name. He's the redeemer. Your kingdom come. Means he's a king. Your will be done. He's our master. On earth as it is in heaven. That's a transformer. Give us this day our daily bread, provider. And forgive us our debts, because he can, because he's the judge, as we forgive our debtors, because he's the rewarder. And lead us not into temptation, because he's our shepherd. But deliver us from evil because he's our Savior. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever because he's our almighty God. Yeah. Amen. And so why do you suppose it's written that way? Where that's just buried in there. It's all about that relationship. It's because he himself is our reward, okay? Let that blow your mind. His is the kingdom and the power and the glory, but he's all ours. That is unbelievable. The reward from our divine dad is his presence and his assurance and his affection and his guidance in everything. That's what we get. Because every single sincere and secret prayer of surrender that we lob to him opens the door to his unexpected answers that change how we see him. And as that happens, bit by bit, that bump by bump, he goes from feeling foreign to familiar himself. Familiar, familiar, right? He starts to feel familiar. That's what it's like. That's what we're doing. He becomes that thing that is, I get it, I know you. You come to know him intimately as your dad, as your ruler, as your redeemer, as your king, as your master, transformer, provider, shepherd, savior, and your God. Because guess what he himself actually says? He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice, Rhoda, and opens the door like you're supposed to, I will come in. But if you don't, he won't. Because praying the right way is what opens doors. And he is that ultimate answer for all of our prayers, standing just outside our heart's door. So regardless of whether you're praising or you're thanking or you're asking, no matter what you're doing with your prayers here, the prayers that please God are the ones that just open our heart. Open your heart to him so he can come in. He just wants to show you what he's got. Because when you do that, he gets to be the partner that you need. He gets to be the partner that completes you. The partner who is strong right where you're weak, who sees right where you're blind, and who finishes everything that you can't. And I tell you, that answer right there is always a people pleaser, 100%. So I think we should all get the door right now and pray. Amen. Amen. Father God, we love you so much and we thank you for giving prayer the power to get our attention until we get that door. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you give us the strength to sincerely seek and then see our partner's perspective as our ultimately pleasing answer. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for showing us that pleasing God simply means opening ourselves to the most rewarding relationship that we could possibly imagine. And everybody said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.